welcome to season 4, episode 2 of the branding season. Today I have two special people with me. They are visiting from the continent of Africa. They've been here for, 6 weeks, and they are with the Mandela Fellowship. So I'm going to have them introduce themselves and also explain why they're here. Everybody that got accepted to the program has their own business, and they're here learning, getting all the tools they need to go and take it back to Africa to really not only utilize what we're learning and put it into that country, but they're making connections within each other as well as with Americans, both Black Americans and white Americans, to really just kind of connect the gap. And so I was blessed to have Tawella as my mentee, and so she has been able to come back and be on my podcast. I'm so grateful for you to be on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. So my name is Tawella, as Danielle said, and I think you've pretty much explained everything about the program. So the Mandela Washington Fellowship is a program that's under the Young African Leaders Initiative. It was started by President Obama. It was an initiative to get young Africans to learn about entrepreneurship, public management, and civic leadership. So we're about a cohort of 700 this year, and this is the 5th year it's running. We came here to Chicago. Some people are in other states and other universities across the country. So it's been an interesting experience.
Cool. Yeah. And so can you go ahead and explain, like, what's your business and, you know, why are you here?
Okay, thank you. So I'm a digital marketer, and I own a digital marketing firm back in Zambia. For those that don't know where Zambia is, look up on your maps. It's just north of Zimbabwe, so I'm pretty sure you know where Zimbabwe is. So I own a digital marketing firm. We do marketing for corporates and small brands and shopping malls, as well as I have a website called tpmoments.com. On this website, I share tips and information on entrepreneurship and marketing for many young and aspiring Zambian entrepreneurs.
Awesome. And so, Sena, go ahead and introduce yourself and explain a little bit about your foundation.
Thank you. So I'm Sena from Ghana. Sena Nyambi is my full name, from Ghana. I think I'll talk about my core business before I talk about my foundation. I am the general manager of Old Mutual Pensions Trust. It's one of the pensions companies in Ghana, quite large. So I manage pension schemes, manage pension funds, invest in various asset schemes. My background is in engineering, but of course I moved from engineering to finance, and so I leverage on my analytical skills to work in the finance sector. But beyond my corporate work in finance, I manage a foundation. So I founded my foundation as Little Things Foundation, and we focus on career development. So as, for example, me, I'm an engineer, moved to finance, but I see myself as a salesman. So I do have some few people I do a mentor on career development, and I share my story. And so in Share My Story, we talk about the little things, and that's how we do it in Ghana.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to definitely have both of you guys' websites and information in the description. So if you're listening, just scroll on down to the description and you can click and see more about what these amazing individuals are doing. So now I want to get back to some of the fun stuff. They've been blessed to be here during Summertime Shy, which is the best time to be here in the city. So what are some of the favorite things that you guys have gotten to try? And, you know, is there anything that's like similar to your home country or something that's just really, really different? For those of us that's never been to either of your countries, tell us what, you know, what it is like.
Okay, I mean, so I think the food is very different. Most of the food in Ghana, they are spicy, and we have lots of soups and stews. And over here, most of the food we eat has some link to bread, you know. So the food is quite different. That's one of the things I noticed over here. I think generally the system is also a little bit different. The transportation system is quite different from what we have back at home. Back at home, I normally drive. I hardly take public transport. Over here, my team and I, the whole court, we usually take the train and take the bus to wherever we have to go to. But for me, this country, because it's an exchange program,
mm-hmm.
I've also spent a lot of time visiting some few places, learning about the American culture. Of course, the academic part of the fellowship is quite intense.
Yeah.
Lots of pre-readings. You get to your dorm and then you have a 40-page document to read before the next lecture. So there's that part. But then we try to manage and mix the fun in the academia. And at the end of the day, we get excited.
Yeah. No, it's so intense that normally I record on Wednesday, but Tuesday was literally the only day that we could do it. I spoke to not only Tuella, but one of the ladies a part of the program, and she was like, yeah, Tuesdays is the only day. So they are really like packing you guys to the brim with information. So if anyone is listening and are thinking about doing this program, I highly recommend that you guys look into it. It seems like it's a great program.
Yeah. Okay. So when I came to Chicago, I expected the tall buildings and I found them. The weather here is fantastic, but it's the first time I've been in a place where the sun sets at 8 in the evening. I mean, back home, the sun sets at 6 and the weather here is quite unpredictable.
Yes. Yeah. Shy.
So back home, it's what you call winter. We call it the cold season. But I love that it's pretty warm. I can walk out in a strap top and shorts. And yeah, it's been cool. I love the boat tour of Chicago. It was pretty interesting.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. So I want to get into you guys's a little bit of upbringing in your family. So both of you guys have branched out to have your own. I know that you kind of have more of a traditional where you went into engineering, which, you know, a lot of Africans do engineering that I know. So you did that and then you switched to banking and now you have a foundation. So how do your family think about you kind of doing all these different things at such a young age?
So growing up, I mean, when I finished high school, I going to the university, I applied to three institutions, and I got admission to all of them. One offered me computer science, one mathematical science, and the other engineering. And typically, if you do engineering, then you are seen as a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I opted for engineering, not because I wanted to do engineering, but because I'll be seen as a smart guy. Now, after 4 years of hardcore engineering and all the mathematics, I realized it wasn't so much fun. I got a project of working in a steel factory, did it for 1 year as an engineer trainee. Gave the opportunity to continue working there, but I realized that wasn't for me, and so I opted out, decided to study MBA. Now let me share this. When I applied to do my MBA, I applied to do marketing. Halfway into the semester, I realized I didn't want to do marketing anymore because I didn't like the reading, and I thought doing finance would be better because I could easily just solve the question and then get away with it. Of course, let me just do this and then get the grades.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved from marketing. I applied to the school. And I proved that I could do the finance course, and I moved and ended up getting an MBA in finance. Then I got a job with an insurance firm, started as a normal salesperson, grew through the ranks, and then I got pushed by another company to start to work in the pensions industry. And the pension industry in Ghana is quite new,
mm-hmm.
and so I was one of the pioneers in the industry, and so I've grown with the industry. Until later, I moved from being a normal head of business development to becoming a general manager of one of the large pension companies in Ghana. In terms of my family, I mean, they are quite open. I come from a family of, I say they are broke academia. So my grandfather had 18 children, but 13 of them are graduates. And about 10 of them have PhDs.
Okay.
So it's a typical academic family. So they let you do what you want to do, provided you would go to school, finish your degree, and then you progress. But that's what you want to do with your career. The other part, if you are fine with it, you can go. So I decided to, once I was growing in corporate Ghana, I was fine with that. In terms of the foundation, looking at how my career trajectory, I felt that I had to give back to society. People make the kind of mistakes I made.
Yeah.
And so my foundation basically addresses that challenge. If you have any career aspiration and you want to navigate through the hard waters, you know, we are available to help you achieve that. And it's been an interesting journey. The Little Things Foundation is growing, of course. I've authored a book on the same topic and, you know, sharing stories of other young guys who have also gone through certain career challenges, but are kind of like happy with where they are today. Yeah.
What's the name of the book?
The Little Things.
The Little Things.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So when I tell my story, people are like, wow, how did you get to do that? Because I come from a medical school background. Mm-hmm. I have a bachelor's degree in biomedical sciences and soon to graduate with a master of science in pathology, specializing in hematology. But from the day that I graduated from medical school, my passion has been in entrepreneurship. I've always had the notion to sell and basically run a business from the time I was pretty young. I mean, at school, I'd fix stationery for my friends and charge them a fee. I mean, that's like when I was way younger. But from my family side, I can say that obviously they frowned on it. I mean, who switches from a medical school background yeah. to something that's challenging, uncertain? And it's taken quite a while, but they've gotten on the bandwagon. And I think I appreciate that from them. I don't know if I would take it the way they did, but I'm glad I'm where I am today and in Chicago talking with you. So it has worked out well for me.
Okay, awesome. So how do you guys, you know, what are you guys going to do now that you have all this information? Like, what is your goal when you go back to your prospective countries? And what are you trying to do for your brand within like the next 6 months to a year?
Okay, so one of the things that we have been doing, as Senna mentioned earlier, is we've had a lot of classes in terms of business and financial modeling and marketing. When I came here, my aim was to work on a membership site for my website. Currently, I'm not having a subscription-based model. I share my information for free. You might find some ebooks on sale, but I'm looking to scale up my website mm-hmm. and to reach more people. One of the things is that I have met a group of 24 lovely, hardworking African entrepreneurs from whom I know I will gain wisdom, knowledge, and skills on entrepreneurship as well. TP Moments is not so different from Average Black Girl. Back home in Zambia, information on entrepreneurship online does not really conform to the conditions that we have, and me combining what I've learned here from what I experienced from back home is something that I think would be of great advantage to people when I get back.
Awesome. Yeah. So for me, I've been looking forward to scaling up the activities of my foundation across Africa, and of course I'm excited to have met 24 other fellows. Toella is good with digital marketing mm-hmm. and she's been helping me promote my foundation online. Awesome. Because I have no idea about digital marketing, so I just have this Facebook page that doesn't really work. And she's like, "Sana, you can't do that. You need to do it this way."
Yeah.
And so these are the kind of connections we have made here. That of course will help us promote the various activities we want to promote back in our countries. Yes, I would like to promote grow up the foundation, and of course I'm going to leverage on the various fellows I've met. To do that, I'm in talk with some other guys who have content, who are into education and all that, so we can partner and then share those contents on my foundation. So it's going to be a lot of giving back, a lot of more of charity work. For the pension side, is already fixed and then yeah. running, so yeah. there's very little. But of course, I need to be able to manage my team better. I've learned a lot about team management, right?
Yeah, yes, we yeah. have.
So actually, I think I'll be able to manage my team better. It's a fast-paced environment.
Yeah.
And of course, increase productivity.
Yeah, and funny enough, we come from the same continent. We've never met, but we all met on a different continent in mm-hmm. America. So it's pretty funny, I guess, because we are just like neighbors to each other. We came all the way this side to meet, so it was pretty good.
Yeah. So, okay, every brand has a brand personality, right? Mm-hmm. So I want you guys to think about maybe three to four words that your brand personality is. Like, so if I were to do me, mm-hmm. I would say that we're fashionable. Okay. We're for millennials and free thinkers. We're for self-motivators and self-starters, and we're all about generating wealth into your business and or brand through strategies or monetization. So what would you guys say that your brand personality is?
Interesting. Oh, this sounds like this sounds like a PhD question.
You need some time to think.
Yeah. But let me put it this way. So the little things, you know, in life we always think about our big things. Mm-hmm. But my favorite saying is that every great story is a combination of little things done right. So we think about the little things. And so I don't have any specific four stuff, mm-hmm. but any little thing you can do that makes a difference. Yeah. For example, on being focused, you know, being determined, being knowledgeable, you know, inspiring others.
Yeah.
You know, any little thing that can make a difference, that is what we look out for. And I say that each individual will have their little things. So maybe your brand, your four words are your little things. Maybe it will
like
share
like
her little things. That's linked to her brand.
Oh, wow. Thanks for that, Sena. Well, my brand is about believing in your dreams. Okay. I ran with the hashtag BIYD because I'm a person that believed in what I do. It was not easy to get started. And I know the challenges I faced and most people face having to switch from a traditional career background to something to do with entrepreneurship. So we look at believers. Secondly, mentorship. We are the type of people that, you know, you come to me with help and I will give you advice. And then I'll be like, oh, wait, I should have charged for that first, you know. So I believe in helping people and I like to mentor people. So I think that's the two main words. I know they're not four, but yeah, I think those are the two that we concentrate on. Yeah.
So one of the things that I think a lot of businesses struggle with, I'm glad you mentioned free advice when you should have charged, is giving free advice when you shouldn't, when you should charge, or figuring out when is it time to stop the conversation and say, do you want to pay with an invoice?
Yep.
Do you want to schedule? How do you do things? So for me, one of the things that I kind of decided, I still wanted to give back. I still want people to be able to give free advice, but I no longer do it specifically through my brand. I actually have partnered with the Chicago Urban League, so they're an organization. Uh-huh. And so I give strategy sessions there. So you can book me through that site, and then I'm, one, getting credit for it. Two, it keeps things honest. Like, you have to drive to meet me. You can't just do like a one-on-one on the phone. Okay. For my brand, I actually no longer give free, but I do online courses that are super cheap. The cheapest one is $7. So we're very affordable if need be, but I felt like I wasn't getting anything back. And the people that were getting information, you would think, oh, if I at least get information for her, when there's like a dope event, I'll invite her or like I'll get some of that. And I really didn't see that anymore. Like, I saw it when people were like, I really need her. But then when it was really time that I could be beneficial of something, I didn't see it. So I personally stopped. That's like kind of where I'm at in my brand.
Okay.
I don't know where you are in yours, but do you have a plan for how to, you know, stop that? Or for me, if I'm talking to a friend, if it's a friend that's like, we help each other, then that's fine. That's different. But if it's a friend that may know me because we went to the same college, but we haven't talked in a while, then I'll talk to you for maybe, you know, 20 minutes. And then I'll be like, okay, anything past 20 minutes, we need to figure out, do you want a strategy session or do you want to just stop?
Okay. So I'm glad you asked that question. 2 weeks ago, one of the fellows here from Nigeria and I had an online coaching session, and we would just so we were testing the waters and trying to see the response we'd get, and we sold out within like 2 days. So one of the participants was my elder sister, and we asked them to fill in a template, and then they'd send it back to us, and then we'd help them out and go through the process. So I saw my sister had signed up, and I said, should I give her a discount? Should I do it for free? But no, I charged her, and she paid the full amount. So what I'm looking at is to have this strict rule about it. I mean, it's difficult to discern when somebody just asks a simple question, and like you talked about the time factor, how much time am I putting into this response? So now I'm having a structured system, and paying for the, you have to pay for my services now.
Awesome. Yeah. I think that more people need to get to that level sooner.
Yeah.
For me, one of the things that I did was I really wanted reviews. Mm-hmm. So I was given free advice mm-hmm. in return for reviews. Okay. Once I got, I think, 30 reviews on Facebook, I was like, okay, I'm done now. Because you needed to prove, like, a lot of times when you're starting out, you may have all these qualifications and everything, but people mm-hmm. don't know you. Like, yeah. I know a big brand that's been around for hundreds of years because we know them.
Yeah.
You may be just as qualified, but we just don't know you as an individual. So mm-hmm. reviews helps me to kind of validate myself, and then I was able to stop. And okay. I think that may be, if you're listening, you're like, okay, how do I get, like, that's a great way. Reviews for free, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're not getting anything from it, you really want to make sure that you're not, you know, killing yourself and sure. still not making any money, still struggling. Yeah. Cool. So is there anything else that you guys want to talk about as far as going through strategies to kind of streamline yourself? I know that you were talking about how it's time to be a better manager mm-hmm. and leader. So what are some of the things that you're going to do as far as implementing being a better leader?
I have a strong personality.
Okay.
And today in class, we were asked to write about yourself, what you think of yourself, what others think of you. And I think I need to be more empathetic, okay. basically. It's a fast-paced industry. And, you know, you have your board on your neck. Today, I got an email from Ghana that am I going to Skype into the board meeting? I have a board meeting coming up. Am I going to Skype into the board meeting? So when you think about what the shareholders want and all this, sometimes you get edgy and you are too aggressive. But I think we can be very productive without being too aggressive. And you can be empathetic as well to grow your business. So those are some of the few takeaways for me as a leader mm-hmm. In such an established organization.
Okay. So I'd like to say that I also have impacted on Senna's empathy. The other day he was sending this email back home and it had this one line strict word, one sentence. I do not like it when you do this and the like. So I said, no, you know what? You've got to be a little bit smoother. You know, the digital marketer in me had to come out. So what I gained from this program is, I want to do more speaking events when I get back. Mm. Yeah, I'm glad that I've already been booked for one, despite not being home. So speaking for me, I think it comes natural. I like to talk. I hope it comes out on this podcast that I do like to talk. But I like to share what I've learned. And that's one of the things that I'm really, really looking forward to doing when I get back. So when we started the program, we were given this document to fill in. They call it the Leadership Development Plan. And I think it's been essential to help us. You know, when you start in a program, you think you know what you're going to achieve at the end of it, but it's actually different from what you expected. So those are some of the things that I think we're going to do when I get back.
Awesome. Yeah. I like that. I think that's something amazing. It's always great when you can look at yourself and be critical of yourself and like self-improve. I know for me, one of the things that I wanted to do this year was I wanted to, you know, get better at speaking. So I hired a speaking coach and, you know, no shame in my game. She got me together. She came to one of actually my classes that I was teaching and then critiqued me afterwards. And I really appreciate that because one of the things that I wasn't doing was I wasn't always selling. I would wait until the end to start selling. And that's not necessarily what you want to do.
Okay.
Also, when I was speaking for these like maybe two window type things, I was trying to fit in what I would do in like 8 hours in like 2 hours, and that was too much. It was information overload. And honestly, if you need all that information and you're trying to get it within 2 hours, that's impossible. You actually just need to book me. So she was like, you need to just calm down and focus on maybe 4 or 5 different points and just hone in on them, make sure people understand that versus trying to be everywhere. And so I've kind of taken that in everything that I've done now, from YouTube videos to Facebook posts to even podcasts. Like, we break it down. In my seasons, we talk about one thing or one topic per season. We break it down over 3 sessions versus trying to put everything into one. And so that is one of the takeaways that I would give to anybody that is listening. If you have a lot, break down and always be selling those one-on-one sessions or your membership course or whatever you're looking for. So now I'm going to actually go into my teaching session. So again, we're talking about branding, and we touched basically a little bit on the branding personality, but I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. So if you're thinking about building your branding personality, one of the things that I would do is I would definitely do that exercise of thinking of 4 or 5 words that come to your brand. But after that, I want you to think about who is your target market and get as specific as you can. You know, is it a he or she, or is it both? What school did they go to? What's their personality like? When you can start thinking of that, then you can start making advertisements specifically for that. And so a lot of times people think, I don't want to be too niche because I want to have a diverse crowd. And so I always go back to this one story. So if I'm selling shoes and I want shoes for everyone, who is going to be my target? We don't know. But if I'm selling shoes and I want to sell shoes to Serena, what does that look like? Well, you're going to have some very nice shoes. They're going to be flashy. They may have some heels. They may have some gym shoes. But the shoe size is going to be what? Probably between a size 6 and a size 10, because Serena is just a bigger female. Would you put Beyonce on that? Well, Beyonce may want to come and try out some of those shoes, but she's going to go back to the brand that is gearing towards Beyonce. So I really want you guys to be specific. If Beyonce is going to come to someone that's advertising to her, Serena's going to come to someone that's advertising to her. And you will have people that are testing out your stuff, but you just want to make sure that you're specific. I always say social media is like a different TV show, and you just find who you like to look at over and over again. And that's the kind of content. If you don't like it, keep scrolling, but you don't have to be, you know, a cooking channel one day and then a, you know, drama the next day and then a comedy the next day. You can be who you are and authentic. And as long as you're talking to your target audience, whoever that is, they will come. And they will not only come, they will tell their friends about you that fit the profile as well. And you will then soon grow your own tribe.
Okay. Can I just add on to that? So I tell people that you're better off selling to 500 people you know will buy from you than 5,000 people who may buy from you. I mean, the effort that you put into selling to people who be like, oh, well, I don't know, is much more than you'd be like, oh, wow, I can't wait for those shoes to come out, you know?
So. Yes. No, I love it. That's perfect. That makes sense. And then you're not working as hard.
Exactly.
Do you know how hard it is to get in front of 5,000 people versus 500? Like, it's so easy. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of these people that are on social media are doing. So I think that before you start thinking, oh, I want to do like a conference and I want to do like these really big, grandiose ideas, really test your market. Mm-hmm. See if people will buy, you know, your t-shirt or even an affiliate program that you post. And if you get no sales, then that's for you to go back and say, okay, maybe my following is not there. Or maybe my branding needs to be revamped. It's one or the other, but that is a great way to test who your audience is and how your buyer's audience is. Another thing that I want you guys to start looking at is within your branding personality is your mission, your vision, and your core values. A lot of times we don't do that at first. We are, this is the product, or this is my idea, this is the service, and I'll figure that later. But as you grow, different brands, different companies, and different partnerships will come to you. And you really want to make sure that you're able to say yes to the right one and no to the right one within a timely manner. So how do you do that? Well, if you already have your branding personality, then you already know what you're going to accept and what doesn't. What feels right and what doesn't. Think of it like dating. You know, it should never be, I don't know if I want to marry this person. You should know who you want to marry. And that's the same way that you should be when you're figuring out these partnerships. Essentially, you know, if you're in a 1-2 year deal with a brand, y'all are in a similar sort of marriage. So you want to make sure that it's the right deal before you're in a bad space where you hear these celebrities are getting sued because they didn't end up to their deal on certain partnerships. That could be you and with the small business, you know, the wrong suit could really hurt you. So you want to make sure that things are right and that you are happy and excited to do these partnerships. So that's one of the things that I would do. Do you have anything to add on that?
Well, typically, when you're getting to choose your target customer, mm-hmm. most people think they have the right customer in their head and say, oh, if I were to buy my stuff, this is what I would be like. But you'd be shocked when you get on the ground and actually find that, oh, wait, these are not the people I thought would actually buy from me. So what I'd advise you to do is, prior to starting your business, do some pre-marketing. You know, get out there, ask people, do a survey online, get to test the waters before you actually begin to sell your stuff. I know people will be like, oh, but my idea is gonna be stolen, and oh, ideas are basically not new. Nobody, I think everything that's there to be done or made has been put out already, but it's your execution that matters. Mm-hmm. So you execute better and faster because you know who to go to exactly. That's what I gotta say.
I love it. So if you're looking to do surveys, you know, SurveyMonkey is one of the ones that I always use and suggest. It's free. Facebook actually allows you to do surveys now too. So if you didn't know, you can actually create polls and surveys and just put it on your Facebook and let it run for a week or 2 weeks, however you want to do it. So those are two ways that you can actually do it. And I think that people don't survey enough. You want to survey, but survey often and survey as much as you need. If you're having a new part of your business, survey it. If you feel like your emails are not getting the right amount of response, survey. There's a lot of things that you can do. And if you're not getting a great open rate, just email people directly. A lot of people like to use like MailChimp and the email platforms, and those are great. But if you really want to talk to people, you can always just email them directly. You have the information and you want to make sure that it is what they like. For me, I started on YouTube and I thought that my brand wanted me to review different black businesses and give reviews. And although that was cool, through surveys, I found out that they wanted me to give more marketing strategies and to give information that I've learned through my corporate experience. So with that being said, surveys are definitely underrated. And if you're having a crossover within your business, definitely reach out. Even though you may think you are your target audience may be you, but a little bit tweaked. Maybe it's you, but a couple years younger, you, but a couple years older, you, but they think a little bit differently. And so instead of guessing, let's make sure that we are not guessing and betting when it comes to making great decisions. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me. I thoroughly enjoyed having you guys here. And we will definitely, like I said, link your information below. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Go ahead and work on your branding personality and let me know in the reviews or in the social media what your branding personality is. I look forward to hearing it. All right, my above average crew, you can reach me on my websites at averageblackgirl.com and my blog and lifestyle website at danielleamitchell.com. You can reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Average Black Girl and on Twitter at ABGGirl. And you can reach me on Pinterest at A Black Girl 2015. I will talk to you soon. Bye.